Today on Real Radio.
It is absolutely vital to understand that when we do Christianity, the world around us, including our own lives, will be changed. It's a fact.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Why Should I? A collection of biblical lessons that takes a look at what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices that we as believers make. There are a lot of professing believers today, and it's pretty much been this way for hundreds of years, who seem to clock in and clock out on Sunday morning, you know what I mean? And that seems to be the extent of their Christian experience. Yet a Sunday morning church service is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. True believers who really wish to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord involve themselves in giving and serving in addition to learning and worshiping. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs deals with now in a lesson called Why Should I Get Involved?
In Mark chapter 7, after Jesus did that great miracle with the man who was deaf and unable to speak, the Bible says there, down around verse 35 or so, it says that the people confessed and said, Jesus does all things well. So what do you have against Jesus if you're a skeptic today? He does everything well. And if you watch his life, it's a blessing. Church, people should be able to watch our lives and be blessed. They should be able to come over to our homes or find us in public and be blessed by a witness. Not that we glow. Look, if we walked across our pools, we wouldn't walk very far. Okay? We're nobody special, but we follow a special God. And he's big. And if we're going to be disciples, that means we're going to be Christians. And you can't be a Christian without being a disciple. And you can't be a disciple without being a Christian. What are we going to look like? What are we going to love like? What are we going to care like? And what are we going to serve like? All right, here's where it gets tough. Are you ready? It just kind of goes downhill from here on out, okay? So hang on. The truth is that we may raise our hands and say that we're Christians, but it doesn't matter what we say. It matters what and who we are, how we live our lives. And if somebody was deaf and they could not speak and they moved into our homes and they lived for 1 month, would they be able to say at the end of that month, I have lived and visited a Christian home? Does it mean it's sinless? No. Does it mean there's not arguments or debates or frustrations or the things of life? No. But there's love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. We're real. And the Word of God is real. It's consulted. And His name is praised rather than cursed. The world is fed up with the wrong view of Christianity. The world mocks Christians, and you know what? They should, by and large, based upon the tragic witness of a professing church who, James warned, we can become a hearer of the Word and not a doer. Well, we need to be listening to hear what Jesus will say too. Not only watching, but listening. What did the people hear? Not only what they saw, but what did they hear when Jesus spoke? They heard things like this. A woman caught in the act of adultery. You and I would think God would fry her on the spot. He didn't. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She says, Lord, I think they're all gone. There's none here. They've left. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's what the world needs to hear from us. We have to be careful as a church that we're not exclusive, that we don't have doors that are closed, but our doors will be open. That we need to be inviting, not compromising, don't get me wrong, but inviting. When the world drives by, do they go, oh, that's that stuck-up group of people. Those holy rollers are those more righteous than thou kind of people. I hope not. I hope the world can say, you know what? That's just a church full of normal people. They're just normal people. but their lives have been touched by God. That's important. What does the world hear from us? Well, they heard things like this from Jesus: you're forgiven. They heard things like this: I love you. You are my friends, Jesus said. Jesus says, those of you who are my disciples, go ye therefore into all the world. You see, a clique or a club shuts the doors behind it and doesn't let anybody in. That's a strange thing that God would have no part with. Not only watching and not only listening, but understanding. Why should we get involved? Well, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and now I understand how to be His disciple. When I read the Bible, I realize that living with Jesus is hands-on ministry. You gotta love it. It's hands-on ministry. Everything, make a note of this if it strikes you profoundly. Everything that Jesus taught on, He then got up and did it in front of His disciples. Many of us have in life experienced maybe a condescending authoritative person or maybe a parent say, do not do as I do as I say. You can tell kids that all you want. It's not going to click. Don't do as I do as I say. Sorry, Dad, they're going to do exactly as you do. That's how God wired us as people. We learn by watching and listening, and we learn by understanding. This is what I hear, Junior says. This is what I see, says Junior. So this is what I formulate and understand of the world around me. And it's something. Man, have you noticed kids, especially so tiny, you see a little guy still in diapers, and the little guy will mimic mom or dad perfectly. Have you seen how that happens? It's something. This last week, my little godson was down from Santa Barbara, and we were goofing around with him. And I started acting like I was sneezing. And what did he start doing? Sneezing. And his dad is a surfer and a guitar player and a motocross rider. So we would play with him and say, Isaiah, ride the bike, and he'd go, vroom, vroom, vroom. Isaiah, play the guitar, and he'd go like this. Isaiah, hang 10, and he would go. He would go right into it. And we love it because it's comical, it's cute, but in all of that, there's almost a passing of the baton, so to speak. And the world is watching, our children are watching. Our wives are watching. Our husbands are watching. The neighbors are watching. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but Peter, he stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice and said to the people, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known that is understand and take heed to the words I speak. Wait a minute, Peter said that? Where did Peter get that from? Every time we see Peter, he's goofing up. Not anymore. It's the book of Acts. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says, men and brethren, listen to what I have to say. It's funny. James says the same thing in Acts chapter 15. Paul says the same thing in the book of Acts as well. Where did they get that from? Jesus. Jesus said, listen, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you. And he would speak. You say, man, Pastor Jack, I'd love to have that kind of authority. People speak like that. You know what? Guess what? Christian disciple, listen, you do have that authority. You can speak the word, God's word. See, we have no authority if we speak our own word. Our words are worthless. But when we say, now watch, when we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We can say that with authority. You want to know why? It's his word. And he empowers his word. It would be absolutely fruitless for me as a Christian to try to want to get somebody to know God and tell them all about our church picnic. Well, our church picnic had In-N-Out Burger. Now, if you'd like to come forward and receive Jesus, why don't you just come on right now? That's not how it happens. It's not a social gospel. If you have Krispy Kreme, I'll show up any day. Listen, That's not how it goes. It is the power of the Word of God. So we understand more how to be a disciple. We need to speak the Word of God. Because why? With all of our ability, even though we lack, we ask God, Lord, cause me to fulfill your word. I want to live and love and walk and minister under your power, Lord. That's what we do. Second point this morning, number two is this. Why should I get involved? Because exposure produces growth. We want to grow as Christians. Remember, I'm only speaking to this church this morning, to those who are already Christians. We want to grow. I would hope that's why you come back to this church. You want to grow. We get up in the morning, we say, man, you know, let's go to church, see what the Bible has to say to us this morning. Well, those of us who are Christians, we've got this this stirring up, I'll put it, this agitation in a good way to want to grow deeper in our knowledge of God. And one of the things that we do regarding that is that we grow by doing. Can you jot that down? We grow by doing. The Bible says in James chapter 1, that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, or else we will deceive ourselves. I'll come back to that in a moment. Hearers of the word and doers of the word, lest we deceive ourselves. It is absolutely vital to understand that when we do Christianity, the world around us, including our own lives, will be changed. It's a fact. Now that Easter resurrection weekend has come and gone, we're starting to hear things. Now we're starting to hear that people were driving down the freeway going to the swap meet in Pasadena from Corona in Anaheim. Going down the 71, they saw you out in the parking lot, 5,000 strong, worshiping during worship. They didn't know what was going on other than there, it must be church, it's outside, maybe we can sneak in. We'll do our religious thing, you know, after all, it is Easter, we forgot. Let's break away from the swap meet and pull in and do a little church. Kind of cover the conscience for the year, and we'll be okay. They came and they found a parking space nearly a mile away, you know, and walked and sat down just in time to hear the end of the message, to give their hearts to the Lord and come forward and be a Christian now. That's amazing. What was going on? God was using the fact that you, being a disciple, were following Christ and you were worshiping him on Sunday morning, and it changed some people's lives forever. That is a tremendous thing. Yeah, you can clap about that. Growth by doing. There's something that when we get our sleeves rolled up and dive into it, we grow. No matter what it is. We know it's true about earthly projects. We can learn this about that and this about the other if we just get into it, right? How much more so is it true regarding spiritual things? Get involved, church. Do something. Say, well, you know, okay. Well, wait a minute. Don't be hearers of the word, but doers, lest you deceive yourself. That's a scary warning. Spiritual truth is very powerful. There's a great danger, though, with it. If it only gets in your head and it doesn't get down into your heart, it will destroy your life. You want to know how? By the way, it's designed that way. The teachings of the Bible was to get into your head and then trickle down into your heart. That's why there's trials. It takes the knowledge in your head and the trials, the difficulties of life, shake it so that it falls into your heart and it becomes a reality in your life. Now listen. If we are just theologians, no one will ever be benefited in this life. We will just sit and learn, and get fat spiritually. And if we don't give out, we'll be just like a sheep. Have you ever seen a lamb or a sheep that's not sheared? Boy, I tell you, with the weather that we've just had, if you have not had your sheep sheared at this time of the year, and it rains like it did last night, you know what happens to your sheep? Your sheep stand there, and they, remember, they're just the big ball of wool. And he's standing there with them little stick of legs, and the rain falls, and it trickles through, and the wool begins to mat, and the water begins to flow downward until all the water gets down to his belly area. The wool is completely saturated beneath him. If he stumbles in that condition, he will fall and roll flat on his back, and he can't get up. The water begins to flow quickly to the back end, and now he's, as it were, welded to the ground with his feet straight up, and a wolf or a predator can come and eat him alive. When we get like that spiritually, we can get so plump that we take in and it becomes a danger. We've got to be giving out, doing. We need to do. When we see what Jesus did and we hear what Jesus said, then we need to do as a disciple. And so I ask you in this church, what is it that this church is dependent upon you for? And there's your answer. Oh, I'm a Christian. Good, I'm glad. Are you a disciple? Yeah. Okay, if you're a disciple, then what is it that the church is dependent upon you for? For some, you might say, look, I'm very, very busy, but I tithe, and hey, praise the Lord. For some of you, you might say, you know what, I don't have a penny, but this is what I do. I'm in the parking lot ministry, or I attend the prayer meetings, or I just have a place at home where I pray for the church diligently, or whatever it might be in between. If you fail to do that thing or failed to show up on that Sunday or Wednesday or that day, would the church miss you? Would the church be harmed by you not serving? It is my desire that the church would be harmed if you didn't serve. You see how this kind of cuts to our hearts? Jesus said, "Do my word." He calls us to do that. And so we grow that way. One more thing before we go on to our next consideration under this point. It is natural for us, church, listen up. It's natural for us to see something or hear about something, we don't do anything about it. We often say this. We think it's a verse in the Bible. It's not. We see something and we go, someone says, you know, will you help me in that area? Will you help us in that area? What's the answer? I don't feel led. You ever heard that among Christians? I don't feel led. You don't feel led? Where's that in the Bible? I don't feel led to... Can you imagine somebody's got a flat tire alongside the road? Christian, from church. It's the guy you cut off trying to get his parking spot coming in. On the way out. He's got a flat along the road. And he waves at you. And you keep going, and your wife says, why didn't you stop? I didn't feel led. Oh, hey, listen, guys, is it like it is in my house at your house? Take out the trash. Jack, take out the trash. Guys, do you have to take out the trash? I got to ask you, how many times have you felt led to take out the trash? I have never once felt led. I mow the lawns on Monday. That's what I do. Takes me 3.5 hours. That's what I do. I will not tomorrow morning feel led to mow the lawn. I will feel led to call a gardener, but not led to mow the lawn. Yet, you know what? The trash gets taken out. If I don't take it, I'll wear it. And if the lawn doesn't get mowed, it will not get mowed. So I mow it and I take out the trash. I never pause to ask myself, do I feel led to do this? Lord, is this from you or not? It happens. Why? It's part of keeping the home going. You know what I mean? It's the way that it is. Hey, ladies, what if you got, you know, you came home from work or you were preparing the home and the kids come home or the husband comes home or in some cases the wife comes home and food is supposed to be there and whatever the case might be. Oh, I didn't feel led to cook today. Now, I understand that there's just those days where, you know what, let's go out. Let's just eat out. Right, ladies? Amen to that? Huh? Yeah. And I understand that. But, you know, a little two-year-old, he doesn't understand that. He's hungry. And you say, well, honey, you know what? Mommy doesn't feel led to feed you right now. The home can't survive that way. The church cannot survive that way. It happens like this. When we're backslidden in our hearts, it looks like this. We're critical. Carpet's dirty. What's the matter with this church? We'll go into the bathroom. Trash cans is overflowing. I can't believe this place. I'm not going to come back here. The trash can is almost full. Complain, complain. And then I would pause the tape, pause the picture right then. And then I would like to walk up with the microphone and say, excuse me, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Are you a disciple? Well, of course I'm a disciple. Then I see something very wrong. You're a Christian, you claim to be a disciple, but you're griping about the trash can overflowing? Take out the trash. Well, I don't know why the church's windows are dirty. It looks like some kids put their hands on it. They probably did. Clean it. Wipe it. Go back to the bathroom. Get some paper and at least wipe it down. Do that thing. You see, all of a sudden, there's the home that I live in, there's the home that you live in, and then there's God's house. And together, his house should be blessed. So when, listen, and I'll be off on this, when we see something we don't like, or something's broken, or the light bulb's burned out, change it. That's why God had you see it. He's trying to make you a more committed disciple. Not a criticizer, not a critiquer, but a disciple. Well, I don't know why the church doesn't do it this way. Maybe we don't know your ways better. Let us know. And now that you probably won't be back next week, I'll go on to the next. We grow by saying, that is, we grow by speaking as well. That's our next thing, is that we grow by saying. We grow by speaking. What did Jesus say in such situations? We hear the word of God, and then we speak out the word of God. And every one of us can do this. Shy to bold, it doesn't matter. We can tell people this: God loves you. God cares about you. When we speak, we have been given as Christians the opportunity to tell people about hope, about the hope of God. Yesterday, I was in I think it was Sam's Club yesterday, and I saw two women walking by who were dressed in their religious garments, their burkas. They were covered up, just their face was exposed. And that's fine culturally. That's fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But I probably know more about their faith and religion than they do. And I had to stop and wonder for a moment. They looked so helpless and hopeless on the inside, I should say, on their face. Now, granted, the Bible says, warning, do not judge according to appearance. They could have been tired, they could have had a big day, could have been difficult, whatever. We all go through that. But they just looked lifeless to me. But that got me thinking about their doctrine. And my heart began to break for them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Why Should I Get Involved? It's a lesson that's directed at the believer who lives a nominal Christian existence. Why Should I Get Involved? Part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons simply called, Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Lots of features connected to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love and that you can get via email. Also, our Wednesday night study is available, which also airs, by the way, on hischannel.com live on Wednesday nights. Our Real Radio podcasts are available. And of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with exactly that, real life issues from a biblical perspective. And a whole lot more when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you could always visit us, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Also, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.